Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy of Leather podcast, the Edinburgh based cozy podcast of your dreams. We are here to help you get rid of your Sunday scaries, and we are chatting to the lovely Laurie all about being a wellness coach, her decision to move from Canada to Edinburgh, kind of how her life has unfolded doing so, and also about manifestation. I do want to say, even if you think maybe I'm not like a manifestation girly or like a spiritual kind of person, I feel like this conversation is still super interesting, so you should stick around to hear what she has to say, because she has a lot of very interesting, meaningful things to say, and we had an incredible conversation. But for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello. Happy bank holiday Sunday, everyone. There's one thing the royals are good for, and it's the only thing, in my opinion. It is a day off work, you know? So at least that's something. I hope you're all having a fabulous Sunday, especially knowing that you won't have Sunday scaries tonight, unless you are working, obviously. But that does mean Monday scaries tomorrow night, so maybe you want to save this episode for then. However, I've just started on the royal topic. I've just started watching Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story, and I'm on episode 2, and I am so hooked. Very, very interesting. Highly recommend if you're into that kind of energy. Life updates, I really don't have anything going on right now. I'm trying to get back into like the job application world, and I went to like a fun Taylor Swift themed brunch today, which was super fun. Been enjoying like socializing in Edinburgh at the moment. Going for like drinks. Ended up at like some comedy show last weekend when we went out for drinks, because it was happening at the bar we were at, and it ended up being like free entry, and it's like a fun old spontaneous evening, which is exactly what you need in life. So it's been a good time. And other than that, just like getting through the days, you know, living life. So that's kind of the only life updates I have. Small wonder of the week has to go out to like connecting with people. I love just conversing, is that a word? Which probably explains why I have this podcast. But conversation is literally at the heart of everything in the world. Like everything started as a conversation before it became something, you know, or like as an idea that then became a conversation, then became a thing. I just think it's so fun. And I've really been enjoying like meeting new people and socializing in Edinburgh. Like today at the brunch I went to, like me and two girls, like we literally ended up at this brunch just like chatting for like 5 hours. And it honestly felt like 10 minutes. So I just really love when you have that energy with people. So I'm calling that my small wonder of the week. My gem of the city this week is people watching, but specifically people watching at the National Museum of Scotland. If you go to like the second floor, even like the third floor if you want to, and go to like one of the balcony and just look down and not like look down on people like in a mean way, but just like look over everyone and just watch everyone and all the different energies happening. And the museum is kind of like the library. It's such a culmination of like different people with different stories, like life stories. And it's just so interesting. And it's because it's free entry. It just like, yeah, it's just super fun. And it's my favorite thing to do when I'm kind of having like a crappy time. And I kind of was going through it this time last week, particularly. I'd had a pretty rough week. And yeah, I took myself to the National Museum and did some people watching, and just made me feel so much better. I don't know how to explain that or why that is, but, and also it's just a really amazing museum. So I highly recommend checking it out, even if you are not a people watcher, which like, is anyone really not a people watcher? But I really, really love, they have like a fun, like space exhibition type thing going on. They had a really fun exhibition for a while. It was on typewriters, but that's gone now. But they do kind of like periodical. I don't know how you say that word. Different exhibitions that you can like pay for, but they're normally like worth it. And they also have this like kind of fun technology one that's like good to go on if you're like here on a weekday when there's like not lots of children around, because that is also where all the kids go. But I'm just living my childhood. I'm reclaiming my childhood. What is that the term? What is it like? Living my childhood dream? No, that's not what it's called. You know what I mean? Like when you, everyone's probably like listening or shouting in their car, because I do that with someone who listen to things and people can't think of the word. I'm like, oh my god, it's this word. Like reclaiming my youth. That's it. I'm reclaiming my youth, or something like that. So yeah, just a fun place all around. Always loved it. I mean, it has changed over the years with like what's in it, but loads of great content. Very, very fun to go and check out, and free. So why wouldn't you go? Yeah, so that's the gem of the city. The poem of the week this week is one I found online. I did have to return that book to the library that I was loving, Umbrellas of Edinburgh. And somebody had it on reserve, so I can renew it. So I hopefully can take it out again. I think I might just have to buy it because it's like the best book ever. But this poem I found on the scottishpoetrylibrary.org.uk. Great website if you love poetry. Just a great place to read poetry. And this poem aptly is called Edinburgh. Stay on theme here. And it is by Margot Robert Admonson. Edinburgh. If they should ask what makes the stuff of us, we should call up such idle things and gone. The theatre we knew in Grindley Street, the midnight bell vibrating in the Tron, a church tower's clock along the Lothian Road whose face lit up would turn a lemon moon. Soon o'er the pallid bleakness of the street, in the chill dusks that harry northern June, a Sunday morning over Samson's ribs, the smoky grass that grows on Arthur's seat, turned yellow willow leaves in Dalkeith Road, dropped lance heads on the pavement at our feet. Glimpses got sometimes of the Forfar Hills with the white snows upon them, or maybe green waters washing round the piers of Leith with all the straws and flotsam of the sea. A certain railway bridge whence one can look on a network of bright lines and feel the stress tossing its plumes of milky snow where goes loud in full place the thundering North Express. Behind its green, great green engine, or in spring, black heaved the castle rock, and there where blows by Gordon's window wild the wallflower still, the gold that keeps the footprints of Montrose. The Pentlands over yellow stubble fields, seen out beyond Craigmillar, and the flight of seagulls wheeling round the dark shared plough, strewing the landscape with a rush of white, such idle things, gold birches by hill lochs, the gales that beat the Lothian shores in strife, the day you found the great blue Alkanet and all the farmlands by the shores of Fife. Yeah, so that is, it's from A Northern Holiday, which is a book written by Margot Robert Admonson. And like I said, the poem is called Edinburgh. I will have the page for it linked in the show notes so you can check it out and have a read. Before we hop into the chat with Laurie, I just want to say, if you are enjoying the pod so far, listen to other episodes and love it, please do leave a review, tell your friends, share it, use word of mouth. Check us out on Instagram at Fancy Blather. Check us out on TikTok at Fancy Blather. I'm still trying to up my TikTok game. That the millennial in me really comes out. I'm like kind of millennial, kind of Gen Z, I'm in that weird year group where I don't really know which one I am. So my millennial really comes out when it comes to like figuring out TikTok. And if you love like chatting and love listening to people chat about interesting things, I suggest whilst you're on Instagram going to check out at smalltalk.pod, I believe is what it's called, or something like that. It's linked in our own Instagram at Fancy Blather. Because Smalltalk is coming back. We are, for old listeners, we are separating the show from this show, but Naomi and I are coming back soon. Very exciting. I'm very excited for like the direction we want to go in, and I think you're all going to love it. So please go and check it out while you're at it. And other than that, let's hop into the chat with Laurie. It's such a good one. Okay, so for this week's charity of the week, I wanted to find kind of a charity that linked to our guest Laurie, but also something that I'm quite passionate about myself. And I've been obviously like on the hunt for like future jobs and things like that, and looking into lots of different kind of nonprofits, and also figuring out like where I want to go next in my journey of my career. And I find this incredible charity, which I think really brings together the things that Laurie and I care about. Laurie speaks a bit about in the interview about particularly focusing on like women and empowering women. And obviously I am very passionate about education. And I have found a charity called Wonder Foundation, who are a women-led charity dedicated to transforming the lives of women, girls in their communities through quality education, which I just feel like is such an incredible thing to be doing. To find out more about them, you can find out like why women and girls specifically, more about their work in general, ways to fundraise or take action, or if you want to donate or anyway, just to get involved, share the word. You can find it all on their website, which is wonderfoundation.org.uk, and find out more about what they're all about, what they're doing, and yeah, how you can help if you're interested, or how you can just find out more. So please do check it out. Like I said, it's wonderfoundation.org.uk, and they're also on like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, so I'm sure you can find them there. Hello, Laurie, and welcome to Fancy Leather Podcast. How are you doing today?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm feeling really good today, and yeah, very excited to be here.
Nice, I'm glad. We always start off the episode before we kind of jump into like who you are and things like that by asking our guests what is your small wonder of the week? What's your small wonder of the week?
My small wonder of the week is I have two actually. I got to host an amazing workshop at a wellness festival here in Edinburgh last weekend, which was really amazing, teaching people on manifestation. And I was also published in Soul and Spirit magazine under
Oh
Manifestation May. So yeah, that was a couple wins of the week.
wow. Nice,
Wonder of the
that's
week.
amazing. I
Yeah.
love that. Yeah, so do you want to like jump into it, just kind of introduce yourself to the listeners? Like, who are you? Where are you from? What are you all about? Just like a little elevator pitch, if you like.
Sure, I can do that. Well, if you've noticed my accent, you'll probably notice I'm not from Scotland. Yeah, my name's Laurie. I'm a manifestation, wellness, and mindset coach working with women who feel blocked or disconnected or stuck, and I really help them to find their kind of purpose in life and really help them live in a life of abundance that feels aligned for them. I'm from Canada originally. I've lived abroad quite a few times. Lived abroad in Australia, New Zealand, UK before. This is my second stint in the UK. Yeah, I've been here for about 4 years now in London to start, and then I came up to Scotland about a year and a half ago now. So, if you can't guess, I absolutely love traveling. It is a huge, huge value of mine and something that I prioritize quite a bit in my life.
Amazing. So kind of going off of that to start off with, a lot of our listeners obviously are like from Edinburgh or like interested in Edinburgh, and that's kind of like the core of our podcast that connects all of our guests. What brought you to Edinburgh? What was kind of the thing that led you to living here?
It's kind of a funny story, actually. So I came here very randomly in January 2022. I had left London to do the digital nomad lifestyle for about 6 months. Went to Tenerife, Portugal, back to Canada, and I was trying to move to Spain, but the visa didn't work out, unfortunately. I always trust everything works out for a reason. And so I came back to London for a little bit to stay with a friend. I was renting a room at a friend's place, trying to figure out my next move and where I was going to go in the UK, because I knew I didn't want to be in London anymore. And all of a sudden, Omicron kicked off again around December time, and I thought we were going to go back into a lockdown. And I was kind of like, okay, I need to find a place because I don't want to get stuck in an Airbnb or, homeless, more or less, because all I had was my suitcase and that was pretty much it. And yeah, I just had this like gut pulling to come to Edinburgh, and everyone. Edinburgh was popping up everywhere. Like, people kept talking about it. It was just showing up in all these synchronicities. And I was like, okay, I feel really drawn towards Edinburgh right now. I've never been. And I was really wanting to find a place on my own. And I went on Spare Room, and literally there was like one apartment that this girl was renting at a really good price, one bedroom subletting it. So I was like, great, don't have to worry, everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to take it. She like hadn't even paid a deposit. I was just going and trusting, and I booked a one-way train ticket up to Edinburgh, and yeah, just rocked up at her apartment. She gave me the keys, did the deposit, and I've been here ever since.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah, it's so cool that you'd like never even been, and we're like, oh yeah, this feels right, because that's definitely a thing, like getting that feeling where you're like, this feels like something I need to do. And even if like everyone around you is like, what are you doing, that sounds like, why would you do that, you're like, no, I know that this is like the right move. And that's so interesting that you like trusted that, because I think a lot of people often when they get that feeling, they're like, oh no, I'm being silly, like I like shouldn't do that because that's not logical, whereas like you were like, no, this is the right move. Going off of that, living like moving to Edinburgh without ever having been, did you have any expectations based on like what other people had said, or like things you'd seen or anything like that, or are you kind of coming in it into the place without?
Yeah, no, I heard really good things about it. I knew it was going to be a bit colder. That's one of the things I struggled with a little bit, coming from the south. But I guess being from Canada, I can handle the winters here. But no, I heard really good things about it. And it's funny, like, given, you know, the vibe of your podcast, I heard it was very cozy and, like, had that feeling nice. To it. So, but, and I can definitely, I do get that vibe when I'm here. I find, like, coming up here, it just, like, it feels, it has a very homey vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that a lot of people say, like, they just come here and they feel good. And I've had that since being here. And I feel the community that I've met here. And, like, mm-hmm. it's been a lot easier to meet people and you don't feel that big city vibe. Like, it just feels a lot nicer in that sense. So I really like that, and that's sort of the reason why I've kind of stayed, is I have met people, have connected, and yeah, I'm in a good situation where my landlord's actually okay with me renting out my apartment, subletting it for when I go traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not something I want to let go of. And yeah, I love being by the nature and having the history here. So having the mountains, the sea, and yeah, Scottish people just are very friendly.
Yeah, that's true. No, yeah, I think there is something so powerful about being in a place with a lot of history behind it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing about Edinburgh. There's so many stories. Like, everywhere you look, there's, like, a story behind things. Like, even just, like, old signs on buildings. And you're like, wow, like, that's been there for, like, 100 years. And you're like, that's such a cool concept to be in a place where everything doesn't feel new. Because I think then you can get kind of lost in that. Like, obviously, London has older areas. But I think when you're in kind of the skyscrapery part of London, yeah, or New York or like Toronto, it's the same kind of like, it's that same kind of like isolating feeling of being like, oh my god, like there's so much going on here that's also new, like how am I ever gonna keep up with it? Like I always felt like, oh my, I'm like, I can't even see the sky, like when do I take a breath? Whereas like here, one of the things I've always loved about Edinburgh is like that you can always see the sky, which sounds like so silly, but like it just makes you feel like, oh yeah, I can take a deep breath, like I can have fresh air here.
I totally get that, because I feel like I lived in Toronto for many years as well, yeah, and I just feel from being in Toronto, living in London, although I was on the outskirts of, well, in Wimbledon area, mm-hmm. but it just felt really suffocating, mm-hmm. like being in the city and on the tube and just being around so many people. I found my like tolerance for big crowds has gone down quite a bit. Even
yeah.
Princess Street gives me anxiety sometimes.
Honestly,
but,
fair. Yeah. Gives me anxiety too. Princess Street but. Is not like for the locals.
No, like, no. It's
no, like, one's going there that like, unless you like actually really need to go to a shop, you're like avoiding it.
Yeah. Funny enough, they shut down the TK Maxx down by Meadowbank.
Oh,
yeah, so which I was really sad about.
The one in
so,
time.
Yes, and that one just gives me a lot of anxiety. So.
Yeah, fair. It is a big one, but yeah, it's a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I prefer just like Stockbridge charity shops. That's where I'm at. I'm like, no, thank you. Princess Street is not for me, especially because it's kind of like the tourist hub of the city.
Yeah,
which is great, but I kind of love when you see touristing things like out with Princess Street. I just think that's so nice to see people like experiencing the city like for more of what it is, rather than like those two streets that were like supposedly in Harry Potter. And it's like, no, there's more to this city than that. I obviously don't like Harry Potter, and I'm sure if you listen to that this podcast you're very aware, but I like think there's a place for it.
You don't like Harry Potter? You
no,
do?
I've never.
Oh my
never
gosh, you're not a proper Edinburgh girl. No, kidding, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Harry Potter.
No, I actually can't stand it.
Interesting. You're like what's it, like a rebel?
Yeah, never liked it. Well, to be fair, like I didn't used to really care about it. Like either way, I was like, I never got into it as a kid, but I didn't like it, but I didn't dislike it. But then I moved here, and then I actively did
boycott it.
Whenever, it's just like when you see the people, I'm like, oh my god, like, go away. Like, it's like Disney adults. Like, I'm sorry if you're a Disney adult, like, you do you. I'm not trying to yuck your yum, but like, get in my way when I'm on my way to work. That's all I ask of you. Or like, if I want to go and get my macarons from like my favorite bakery and I'm like having a bad day, please just let me go and get them, like, being bombarded by a group of wand people. Like, I don't need it in my life. It's just really,
you're living in the wrong city, I think.
It's really uncomfortable.
Oh man.
No, a lot of people in Edinburgh feel this way. That's like a local.
Okay.
That's like a local mindset. You kind of spoke about going on a digital nomad life. What kind of inspired that? How did that come to be?
Interestingly enough, it was something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it kind of started, I'd say back in 2017, 2018, I was living in Australia and New Zealand for 18 months. And that just really sparked my love of travel, because I hadn't traveled that much before that. That just really sparked my love for travel. And I was like, I know I need to make this part of my life. And that was a big reason why I moved over to the UK, to have that easy access for traveling Europe. And I was still working office 9-to-5 job, March 2020, like most people. Was made redundant. I was working in events. And so I actually had the opportunity to start my own business, which is something I always wanted to do. But being made redundant, I was like, okay, I've got the opportunity now. I bought a course on how to get started. Originally started as a virtual assistant. And it was doing quite well enough that I was making money online and decided that I did not want to go back to the corporate world at that point. So I figured, why am I living in one of the most expensive cities in the world working online when I can be almost anywhere?
Fair enough.
Yeah, so...
Very good point.
Yeah, so... I left the house share I was living in at the time in London, and I took off to Tenerife, and that was sort of the catalyst for the digital nomad lifestyle. Now I say a semi-nomadic lifestyle, like half the year. I'm a hybrid digital nomad now, as I call it.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
Have you always been interested in, like, even as a kid, like, interested in traveling? Were your family kind of like big into traveling and stuff like that, and like different cultures?
No.
Or do you think that's like something that you like grew into as you like got older?
I'd say something I grew into, because I never really traveled that much for some, because I was like living in Toronto trying to like, you know, climb the corporate ladder and do all that stuff. And then, although I did go, like, I did move away a lot for school, so I think I did I think that travel was there. I wasn't exposed to a lot of travel when I was younger, and a lot of people in my family haven't traveled that much. My grandparents did, but I was never kind of part of that. So yeah, I lived around quite a few different places in Ontario for school. And then I did go to British Columbia one summer with my younger brother at the time. We went and worked up in the mountains for summer.
Oh,
so that was sort of the start. And then the following year, when I was 25, I moved to London for the first time. I only lasted 3 months because I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I was just like ridiculous with my money, and I was just buying everything and didn't get a job that was paying enough bills. So yeah, I kind of failed that one and had to go home a lot earlier than planned. But
to be fair, it's an expensive place.
It is. And I didn't know like pounds and Canadian dollars. I was just like, oh my God, Sex in the City lifestyle. This is amazing.
Fair enough.
Wanted to shop at Topshop.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't, was going out for lots of wine and making friends. And I was only working a part-time job, so it wasn't enough to cover the bills. And then eventually I was like, okay, I need to go. Oh, actually what happened was, this was in 2011, and the riots kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
In London. Yeah, and I remember being so terrified, because it was my first time living away from home. I was here by myself, and like the whole city, it was like panic. Like, everything was shutting down.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I remember at the time, I was going to move to Manchester or Leeds, I think, because it was more affordable. And the whole city center of Manchester was like on fire, basically. I remember seeing that on the news, and I was just like, I'm going home.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yeah.
Pretty valid reason.
Yeah. And I decided at the time, because I just like finished college, I think the year or two before, and I was hoping to have found like a job, and I was doing journalism at the time here in London, but because of the visa I was on, a lot of places where I was only able to get like temp reception jobs and stuff. So yeah, I went back to Toronto and ended up I moved to Toronto at the time because my family's from an hour outside of it. And then, yeah, I kind of started the career life then at that time, so.
You spoke about how you'd, like, always wanted to start a business. Was that something you kind of had wanted to do from a really young age? Or was that something that you kind of came to realize through your like 9 to 5 job and kind of realizing maybe like I don't fit into this mold of like working for somebody else every time? Or was it something that you kind of always had within you like growing up?
I would say that's a good question. I feel like it was definitely like the 9 to 5 that, mm-hmm. that kind of brought it out. It may have always been there, but maybe I didn't know too much until I kind of got into that world. But yeah, I remember like always trying to like Google how to start things. And mm-hmm. One of my first jobs was in advertising media planning, and I really wanted to get into events planning. So I did an online certification, and a lot of it was talking about how to start your own business. But at the time, I think I was just too afraid to take that leap and, mm-hmm. you know, quit the job and really go all out and like be your own boss. And so I don't think I would have been ready. But even before that, yeah, I remember I was trying to do like a personal training certification at once, and I wanted to be like a health and fitness coach and all these things. So yeah, I would say from my early 20s, it was definitely there. But I never really quite knew how to do it or how to get it started. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I think it was sort of, yeah,
well, there's also probably there. Power in that exploration of everything before you did it, because then you're coming into it with more knowledge and more kind of failure, if you like, but like in a good way.
Yeah.
Of like learning through life experience. Whereas I think there is a risk if you do it too early that you kind of burn yourself out, whereas you'd given yourself the time to like figure things out and try different paths. I mean, not that you ever stopped doing that, but it just means that you had kind of more of that like different experience behind you at the end of it.
And I think back then, like, social media wasn't as like prevalent, mm-hmm. so to grow yourself,
it was a lot.
Lot more work. You'd have to. It's like all word of mouth, networking, like making a website, a blog, I guess. But you didn't have like now Instagram is insane for, you know, getting clients, Facebook groups, all sorts of things.
Like
YouTube,
the
TikTok
world is totally. Yeah, blown everything out of
so
the water.
It's so much easier to get that visibility and traction mm-hmm. nowadays versus then. It would have been a lot harder, I think.
Nice. How has your business like grown to become what it is? Now you're doing like manifestation. Do you want to speak more about like what your business is all about now? Like what are all the different things that are happening just now?
Yeah, so I've transitioned a little bit over the past since I originally started my business as a virtual assistant. Being an event planner, I was doing retreat planning with spiritual business coaches. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about the health and wellness coach like quite a few years ago, like, oh God, maybe 15 years ago, that I always wanted to do that. And that vision just came back to me, I'd say, what was it, last summer? I was just at the gym working out and I was like, yeah, I absolutely love this. Like, why did I not get certified back then? Like, I need to pick up that dream from mm-hmm. then. So yeah, I just went in, got Googled wellness coach certification and got certified here in Edinburgh. And then did my manifestation coaching certification this past fall as well. And yeah, since then I've been really focused on coaching women, especially like ambitious, high achieving women who are just lacking that kind of self-worth, that confidence, not mm-hmm. feeling stuck, but they know they're meant for more. Like they have this burning desire to maybe it start a business or live life on their own terms a little bit different than from what, you know, society deems the normal.
Absolutely.
And really helping them uncover that and getting clarity and working through that resistance and building up that confidence and that self-worth to really take that leap and start creating the life that they're totally envisioning. Because the huge vision behind it was I was that person before. You know, I really did
and this
struggle.
Kind of like where you're...
Yeah.
You know, you want other people to have the vision.
Exactly.
The vision that you've had. No, that's really amazing. I want to kind of delve into manifestation, but before that, were you always kind of... Would you call yourself a spiritual person or not? Like, what's your take on that term, if you like, and like, where do you kind of find yourself in that world?
Yeah, I'm definitely a spiritual person. It took me quite a while to, I would say I was a spiritual person in the closet for a really long time.
Okay.
I think I was in denial about how spiritual I actually was, and I was always interested in it. And like, I remember reading The Secret, the book.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are probably familiar with that when it comes to manifestation. That's sort of the, you know, the portal mm-hmm. hole into that world. The first time I read, oh God, I don't know what year that was. It was like 2006 or 2007 that came mm-hmm. out. And I was super interested in it. Always interested in like, you know, big Tony Robbins, law of attraction kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. never was always like, oh, that's a bit too woo-woo. Or I was afraid what people would think because my family's was very different from growing up with that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's only been over the past couple of years that I think I've really just stepped into owning that more and not being afraid to like let that part out. And now I'm like last night I hosted a full moon circle
Amazing.
Virtually
yeah.
and like, you know, we're pulling cards and talking about manifestation and you know, just signs from the universe and the heavy energy of the moon. And I just feel a lot more in my element and really just being more myself when it comes to that.
Nice. Yeah. So kind of delving into the manifestation side of things, obviously with kind of the surgeons or research, I don't know, I suppose it's had a couple of surgences now of TikTok happening kind of in the world consistently and becoming kind of the main platform where there's like viral things happening everywhere. And obviously manifestation became super, super viral for a while, like on TikTok, and everyone was kind of talking about it, but there was kind of a lot of discourse around like what even was it, and there was kind of loads of different videos, and it was kind of hard to know like which one was like the true one and which one was like people making things up or like being satirical or like having things on their, just like kind of saying things to get the likes. So for our listeners at home, like what is manifestation? Like what does that mean? Like the word itself, if somebody says to you like I am manifesting, like what does it mean?
Yeah, so first off, I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know all those ones, but yeah. I really don't vibe with the people who are like, write out 111 and you'll manifest all your desires.
Yeah,
like I think a lot
absolutely.
Of that is like kind of bull. So manifestation is really, it's quite simple in a lot of ways. It's like your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and emotions really making up your reality, right? So it's how you feel, how you perceive things, how you think, how you act are coming into your reality.
Yeah.
Everyone's manifesting 100% all the time, whether you realize it or not. And manifestation, you can look at it as like having a goal and an idea in your mind and it coming into fruition, right? In that sense, there's a lot more that goes into it in that area, but basically it's a way of being, it's a way of living. But yeah, it's your thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs creating up your reality. So what you feel internally and what you believe is possible for you. And it really comes from a place of self-worth as well, like having higher self-worth. Because if you don't believe that something's possible for you, on like especially on a subconscious level, it's gonna be really difficult to manifest that into your life.
Yeah, so it's kind of intrinsically like linked to psychology in a lot of ways, like more than like the people that are like, oh, write down 2 2 2 and you'll have a Lamborghini and you're like,
yeah,
what? And I think something that's interesting that you said at the workshop was kind of like you don't want to manifest for like a thing, like an object, you know what I mean? Like that was something that was really interesting because I feel like that is a lot of the discourse is like, oh, well, I manifest every day. Why do I not have like a mansion? But it's like, that's not really like what manifestation is about. Like, it's not about being like, I want a mansion in 24 hours and like writing that down every day and then being like, oh, why do I not have a mansion when it's been 24 hours? So I think that's really interesting kind of the way you spoke about that. So I don't know if you want to speak more to that in terms of it, like being more about the emotional side of things as well and about like the way you feel when you're doing things, because I think that's such an interesting concept that's not really like spoken about a lot.
Yeah, like I try to avoid the, I mean, there are, of course, we all desire certain materialistic things in life as well,
course,
but
that's,
you know,
capitalism, but
yeah, exactly. But for me, when I think about manifestation and what I like to teach my clients as well, it's like thinking about from, yeah, exactly, from an emotional level, like how do you want to feel? To give you an example, like I'm in this money mindset group online and this woman posted that she hit 300,000 a year in her business and she said she felt nothing and she felt so upset and like she felt like a failure because she didn't hit a million. I was like, but what an accomplishment. You hit 300, like, you know, but it's not about that. It's not about the money. It's about what is the feeling and what is that money allowing you to do and allowing you to live in your life and allowing you to experience, right? So what comes with the experience is an emotion. So basically when we're calling in something or desiring something, it's because we want to feel a certain way, right? Think about when you go out to eat for dinner, you're picking a restaurant, you're going to go somewhere because you have this, you want to eat the pizza because it's going to feel good, right? Or you want to hang around certain friends because you feel good. You want to book the trip and be on a beach somewhere because you feel good, because it feels good. So if we want to manifest certain things, it's because it's going to add value and, you know, abundance and these amazing experiences to our life. Or if you want to call in an amazing partnership and a relationship with like your soulmate, so to call it, right? It's because you think about the way that you want them to make you feel, right? Or if like a new job experience. So if you're looking to manifest more money, for instance, which is totally possible, money is like energy in a sense. It's just, it's like, think about, okay, well, how good would it feel when that money comes to you, right? Think about the abundance that it's bringing to you. And you might hear a lot of people talking about treating money like a relationship, like a boyfriend or a girlfriend, like showing it love and talking to it. But if you're constantly like, oh God, I'm like, I never have enough money, or like, I don't want to look at my bank account because oh, it just gives me anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, think about a partnership. You wouldn't do that to your, like, boyfriend. You'd be like, oh my God, you just make me anxious. I don't even want to look at you.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time with you, right? It's like showing it that love and nurturing to create more space for it to come in a sense as well. So, yeah, whenever you're looking to manifest something, the main things are believing it's possible for you. And if you're having trouble believing that it's possible, like if it seems something that's so outside of your comfort zone or what you're used mm-hmm. to, looking for ways to be expanded on that. So that means looking for where the proof is possible,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking for if it's a new job opportunity at a new salary that you've never had before, looking for someone that maybe was in a position you were in before and that achieved that, having a chat with them, reaching out, whether it's social media or if it's a relationship and you maybe are thinking, oh, I'm not lovable enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, looking for ways to heal that and looking for where you see that really amazing example of relationship that you want as well.
Nice. No, I think that something as well that is so powerful about thinking about the emotion behind it rather than the object is that it kind of, because you often hear of that thing with people where like for so long in your life you dream of something, getting something or of getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So like maybe it is to get this job you've always wanted in your life. Or maybe it is to get this car you've always wanted or something like that. But then you get it. But because you haven't done this self-work, you don't actually... Like, you're like, why am I not happy? Like, I have what I've always wanted. Why am I not happy with this now? And it's like that thing of like, well, if you are thinking and allowing yourself to feel the emotions as you're getting to there and being grateful for what you do have and always keeping that in mind, then it... kind of allows you to obviously people do have mental health conditions and that's a thing that, but also you have to then recognize that and be like, well, this is not going to fulfill like my every need and you're not going to be happy 24/7 in your life. And I think that's something that's so powerful about speaking about like manifesting the emotion that you'll feel, because it allows you to like recognize that the emotion is like the most important part. It's not the object at the end of the day that's going to have an impact on your life. It's the way that you feel that's going to have an impact on your life, which I think is interesting in terms of like being open when you're manifesting, because maybe it's that you want to feel a certain way. Maybe it's like you want to feel a certain way in your job, in your career, or in your family life, but you don't yet know how that's going to happen. But having that openness to like figuring that out, kind of like speaking about like your gut feelings that you spoke about before.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's something that's so powerful, is about giving yourself that openness and that opportunity to allow things to come to you and to kind of not close yourself off and to be like, this is an emotion I want to feel, especially when I'm going to work every day or when I'm spending time with my partner. I don't yet know who's going to fulfill that or like what job is going to give me that, but I want to be open to like finding that possibility. And I think that that makes such a difference, because otherwise you can get quite like stagnant
in the way you
live your life.
Totally. And what happens then is like, if you're so focused on how something is going to happen, like
mm-hmm.
the how, it's not always up to the how. I mean, you have to do your 50% and take action, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't just sit there and be like, right, when's that car just going to appear in the jar? You know,
yeah.
You're just going to sit at home all the time, hoping your soulmate's going to knock on your door.
Yeah,
it doesn't work
literally.
That way. Right. It's like, you need to meet the universe, like 50% mm-hmm. and do your 50%. But yeah, when you're so focused on the how it's going to happen, the how and like, you know, that specific thing,
mm-hmm.
all you're thinking about is not having it, which is causing more of that actually experiencing not having it. And that is going to bring more of that into your life as well. But if you let go of the how and just trust, like trust is a huge part of manifestation. Just trust and know that it's on its way to you. And it may be, there's a classic saying, which is really powerful though. It's like this or something better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this, or maybe the universe might have something else in store for you. That's going to be even better. Right. Or it might be a bit longer than originally planned, because you might have lessons to learn or growth to happen along the way as well. Because a big part of manifestation is, if you are not at a place where you are expanded enough or have done enough growth
mm-hmm.
to hold space for what you're calling in, for instance, say you do get that relationship that you dreamed of, you have this amazing partner that just shows up, but if you haven't done enough work on yourself, like maybe you don't believe you're fully lovable yet, you're going to actually self-sabotage that relationship without even realizing
absolutely.
It. Because you're going to project, I don't believe I'm lovable. You're going to push that onto that partner, and eventually they're going to leave, and it's like you're proving it to yourself. So
mm-hmm.
if you need to do that work on yourself as well to be able to hold that classic thing. A lot of people who win the lottery, they just burn it all the money and it's gone. They go bankrupt because they have no idea how to hold on to, like, I don't know, a $10,000 or $1 million, whatever.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
It's like it's burning a hole.
So it freaks them out, and they're like, oh my God, I'm not used to seeing that in my bank account. I'm used to seeing
it. And it's also the trust thing as well, right? Where they're like worried, like, because then it's like, I always think that's such an interesting concept, like winning the lottery. Like, would you tell people or not? Like, you know, the people that like publicly announce it to the world.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, maybe that's just my trust issues, but I'm like, that does not feel like a good idea to me. Because then it would be so hard to trust, like, that people were actually becoming to you for who you are and, like, wanting to be your friend because of you and, like, wanting to be around. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I would be casting a lot of doubt on a lot of relationships because I'd be like, oh, well, maybe they just want to, like, talk to me because now they know I'm a millionaire. Like, I feel like it would make your life so difficult, which is also probably why I never want to have that much money because I'm like, I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I also just don't think it's necessary for me personally. I mean, some people, that's great. If you want to be a millionaire, be a millionaire. But I think for me, I'm always kind of looking. And I'm like, but there's some people that can eat every day. Why should I have £1 million to drive on why should I fly on a private jet every day? And those people can eat. That doesn't seem like a fair balance. So I always think that's so interesting is like that concept of the lottery and like, what would you do if you ever won it? Because I honestly think I'd probably just have a panic attack. I feel like I don't know. See, I don't know what to do. But if you've done the work and you know, like, this is something I want, something I've worked for.
Yeah, and you've up-leveled.
Yeah.
But see, this is like a classic money mindset thing as well, right?
Yeah.
You're thinking, okay, well, there's people who can't eat. Who am I to have that amount of money?
Yeah.
But think about all the people you could help with that amount of money.
Yeah, see, because that's what I would do if I had it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would use it to help. Like, exactly. I don't think I would... I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't keep some, like, to have a comfortable life.
Of course, I mean, naturally. Why wouldn't you?
Live
the good life.
Absolutely. I think I would keep enough that I was comfortable in my own life and had enough, like, aside for if I was to have a family. But I think I definitely would be someone that would want to, like, invest and not, like, splash the cash anywhere.
Oh, and as a teacher, I mean, like, you could build amazing schools
absolutely.
In other countries, right? So it's all about, like, people have such views around money as, like, money's bad, money's evil.
Yeah.
Only, like, you know, people are greedy who have money. Like, these are just, like, things we grow up with. But in reality, like, those people do exist in small, of course. But there are a lot of people who have a lot of money who are doing really good things in the world, right? Who
true.
Are, yeah. So, I mean, it's all about how you kind of view things.
It's a
perception thing.
Yeah, because I think the kind of, like, evil billionaires are just more publicized than the nice ones. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not really in the media, because, like, nice things are not often in the media, are they? Like, they're like, well, we can spin a really...
It's the fear factor that they
want to
promote.
Spin a really fun, cryptic story, or we can have this nice story about, like, someone doing something nice, and it's always going to be like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time, without fail.
Yeah.
No, I think that's so interesting. In terms of being a wellness coach, what else does that kind of entail? So obviously you work with your clients on manifestation quite a lot. Is there kind of other, what, I suppose, like, what is, not that every day would look the same, but like, what is like a day to day for you? Like, roughly, like, what does it look like? What are you doing within your day, like, related to work, but also, like, related to your own wellness and things like that? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So from like a coaching perspective, like, basically I take, it's not just manifestation in a sense, but we start by, like, looking at the wellness of the client from, like, a holistic perspective.
Yeah.
So, you know, that includes spiritual, emotional, like, physical, mental, like, how's your work life? How's your home life? How are your relationships? How do you feel about yourself? What's your lifestyle like? And really kind of doing a whole overview of where can we stop the people-pleasing tendencies, you know, put boundaries in place, work on your self-worth, work on your confidence. So a lot of mindset goes into that as well. And a lot which ties into the manifestation and, like, believing something's possible, a lot of that comes from, like, limiting beliefs growing up, right? Oh, I don't feel worthy of that. I don't feel good enough for that. So finding what those core limiting beliefs are that are actually really holding you back from taking action on what that goal is, and rewiring the subconscious mind and putting in new empowering beliefs, so then the client will feel more empowered to start making those choices, which, and then are going to start taking actions, creating steps towards them manifesting their dream life. So it's kind of a cycle with the wellness, and it all kind of falls into each other. So since, you know, I've really implemented those into my own life as well, and this is why I coach on it, because it's just transformed my life on such a impactful level. But I guess my typical day-to-day, I mean, I'm not at the, I know we went to the same gym, which closed down, unfortunately, so I'm not at a gym right now, but I'm trying to do a lot of walking and yoga and Pilates at home, for instance. I just really focus on, you know, I've kind of cut alcohol out of my life, which has been huge for, especially for my mental health. I used to be a heavy smoker. Actually, a lot of people don't know that about me, but quite a few years ago, so I quit smoking many years ago. I just focus on having a really morning routine is key for mm-hmm. me. Morning routine sets the tone for the day. So that looks like, it switches up every now and again, but I focus on journaling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Future scripting is really amazing for manifestation as well. So writing out like your dream day,
yeah,
as if you're living it now, or like writing out, oh, I'm so grateful I'm waking up this morning, living in my beach villa in Spain, or yeah, you know, whatever it is, or that I'm going to my dream job at like this high school as a teacher, like mm-hmm. whatever it might be for you, because it puts you in that
high school.
University, college, whatever it might be, because it really puts you in that mindset of like the feeling and the emotion, yeah, and again we're talking the emotion of your manifestation mm-hmm. and like living out that lifestyle, and which becomes magnetic and raises your actual vibration mm-hmm. of attracting that to you quicker. So I love doing that. A good old brain dump is awesome if I'm feeling like,
yes,
emotionally stuck,
love
or drained.
Brain dump.
Yeah, just like write it all out. And with
it's
manifestation,
very, like, cathartic.
Yeah, one thing I always like to tell people as well when it comes to manifestation is like, if you've got the time, depends what your time in the morning is, but like brain dump, then write out like how you want to feel or kind of anything like mm-hmm. manifesting, and then do a future scripting day, like those
okay,
like three
kind
pages
of like in that order.
Yeah, and it can really help to raise your mood quite a bit. And then I love to do some breath work, especially if I'm feeling a bit anxious or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I find that super helpful. Just some box breath. EFT tapping.
I love box breath.
Yeah, box breath is so, yeah, it's amazing, especially with some like binaural beats, which is really
good.
Yeah,
nice.
Find playlist on Spotify. And EFT tapping is really, mm-hmm. really powerful for helping to just calm your mind, calm the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good somatic practice. So, and it really helps to instill those beliefs as well, right? So you're working through any limiting beliefs. And then you can start instilling new ones as well that way. So, yeah, and then just like a healthy breakfast and some visualization practices. That's kind of my morning routine. And then I just really try to now be very mindful who I'm spending time with. That is a big one as well.
Yeah.
You've got any toxic people in your life or friendships.
Yeah, energy suckers.
Yes, energy vampires, as I like to call them. So I don't call it an energy audit. It's taking, where's your energy going?
Uh-huh.
You know, are you focusing on tasks or things that are really draining your energy, that are not lighting you up? And are you spending time with people who are also sucking your energy dry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it might be we need to cut those people out of our life, which can be really hard. But it also can be, if it's family or really close friends, you know, that you don't want to cut out of your life necessarily. It's putting those boundaries in place and maybe not spending as much time with them for a bit. Or like just speaking, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I need from you. Or, you know, speaking your needs in that sense as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I think we've covered so many things. I feel like we could keep talking for so long, but I feel like, yeah, there's so much more to say, so maybe there will be a future episode. But for now, before you kind of tell our listeners like everywhere they can find you and things like that,
yeah,
what is your Korean essential?
Ooh, Korean. I love that word. I hadn't heard
it's
it before
so
until
good,
you told
yeah.
this one today, actually.
It's
I
like
would
a hyphenated.
Say, hyphenate Korean.
Yeah.
I would say I love, yeah, a journal. Well, I guess it's three. Journal, a good playlist, and a candle.
What's like your go-to playlist?
Go-to playlist. I really like peaceful light piano. I never used to be a classical music
Ooh,
person, but
nice.
When I'm working or journaling, I find it's really
mm-hmm.
so nice to just
yeah,
listen to.
Yeah, very, very like good for like
relax.
Yeah, and just like relaxing.
Yeah,
like, studying
flowing.
Stuff. Yeah, whatever
to
I have work today. Get like it helps you focus.
Yeah, that with like a nice coffee or tea and just journaling, and like especially being in Scotland on like a cozy gray day, like,
yeah, yeah, like right now. I was thinking, I was like, when we were holding our tea, I was like, you know what, this feels like winter.
It does feel
and
like winter.
I was like, it's
yeah.
May.
Yeah,
but there's something kind of nice about it in a way, especially like when you can see all the color. It's nice, like with the spring, not like in the sky, I mean in the garden.
Yeah, no, the garden looks nice. I'm happy to see green. I'm heading to back to Spain actually in a few weeks, so
oh,
I'm
wow.
really
that
excited
so nice
for that. So I'm just getting through this grayness till
nice.
Like, 2 months of
sunshine. While we're shining out things on Spotify, I feel like I have to say that Ed Sheeran's new album came out yesterday, and I've been loving every second. If you want a good cry, he's your man as per usual. But his new album is
okay.
Chef's kiss. I mean, it's emotional.
Yeah.
He wrote it like when his best friend had just passed
yeah.
away, and his wife, I don't actually know if she's fully recovered or not, but was going through like a bad illness like during her pregnancy. And like, I can't remember what it was, but it was something like quite like death threatening, but she seems to be doing okay now.
Okay.
And then obviously he's now had all this stuff with that court case, which is now like been fine. And his granny just passed away and stuff, so it sounds like he's just had a bit of a rough time of it. But he wrote this album, and it's a visual album, but I haven't watched the visuals yet, but the whole thing is a visual album, so I'm excited to watch it later. But he wrote a song on it called The Hills of Aberfeldy, and I grew up like not too far away from Aberfeldy.
Okay.
And it's kind of got, it's Ed Sheeran, but with like a folky twist. And he does that on a few of his songs, but I grew up, that's folk trad-y music is kind of like what I grew up with my dad playing in the car. So it just has an extra, and especially when it's like an area that I know, like I grew up around, I'm like, oh, this is him in the feels.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so, hard. He is such an incredible writer. Like he's someone that just, he just has a way with words in a way that I'm like, how do people do this? Like, it's really quite impressive. Just every song that, to be fair, some people might not feel this way, but I feel like every song that man has written is incredible. Like he no skips on that playlist.
I'm excited.
Yeah, check it out. Definitely do. Be like prepared for a couple tears, but it's worth it.
I love Ed Sheeran. It took me a while to love Ed Sheeran. I used to like boycott him so much. I was like, I'm not gonna love Ed Sheeran or Harry Styles. And Ed Sheeran definitely grew on me over the past few years.
Yeah, he's
Harry
just
Styles like, still. I like some of the songs.
I love them both a lot.
But Ed Sheeran is like, yeah, there's a special place in my heart for that man.
He just has a way with words. You know?
He's beautiful.
That's what it is. But yeah, on that note, where can our listeners find you, Laurie? Where can they check you at?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at Wanderlush Collective. So it's WanderLush, and then Collective. And then you can find me at wanderlushcollective.com.
Amazing. And thank you everyone for listening this week. Thank you for coming on, Laurie. It's been lovely chatting with you. And if you want to check out anything to Fancy Blather, we are on Instagram, just at Fancy Blather. TikTok's at Fancy Blather as well. And our website is fancyblather.com. Have a good week, everyone. Bye. Hello and welcome back to Fancy a Blather podcast, the Edinburgh-based cozy podcast of your dreams. We are here to help you get rid of your Sunday scaries. And we are chatting to the lovely Laurie all about being a wellness coach, her decision to move from Canada to Edinburgh, kind of how her life has unfolded doing so. And also about manifestation. I do want to say, even if you think maybe I'm not like a manifestation girly or like a spiritual kind of person, I feel like this conversation is still super, super interesting. So you should stick around to hear what she has to say, because she has a lot of very, very interesting, meaningful things to say. And we had an incredible conversation. But for now, let's hop into our intro.